Shipyard Girls at War, written by Nancy Revel, read by Janine Burkett. The moral right of the author has been asserted. Modo laesiat, vivere est spes. While there's life, there's hope. Terence, a playwright of North African descent, 185 to 159 BC. Prologue.
Mrs. Isabel Elliot, 34 Tatum Street, Sunderland, County Durham. We deeply regret to inform you your husband, Private Edward Elliot, of the 7th Armoured Division of the British Army, is now reported to have lost his life as a result of military operations on the 11th of December 1940. The British Army express their profound sympathy. Letter confirming this telegram, giving all available details, follows. War Secretary of State, War Ministry.
Chapter 1. Friday, 27th of December, 1940. Polly found Belle huddled up on the floor in the far corner of her bedroom. Her arms were wrapped around her legs, which were pulled up tight to her chest. Her head was bowed down, with her forehead pressed against her knees. Her body, tucked up in a ball, was rhythmically rocking back and forth. She wasn't making a sound. Polly couldn't even hear the resonance of her sister-in-law's breathing. Instead, the room was filled with the most mournful silence. It was daylight outside, yet the blackout curtains had been pulled shut, as was the tradition when a close family member passed away, although in this case, passed away was too gentle a description for the life that had been so brutally taken. Passing suggested the natural end of a life well lived, a life that had reached the stage where it was time to move on. The life being mourned in the Elliot household, however, had not by any means been ready to move on. It had been snatched away, robbed, stolen, like so many others during this past year. It was a wrongful death, an injustice that could never be righted. In normal circumstances, the closed curtains served the dual purpose of letting neighbours know that a death had occurred, as well as keeping the inside of the home dark and cool, as the deceased's body was usually kept there until the funeral took place. In the Elliot household, though, the curtains had been drawn merely as a sign that the family was in mourning. There was no body to bury, as Teddy's shrapnel-filled corpse had already been laid to rest in a foreign cemetery in a place none of the family had ever heard of, Sidi Barani in Egypt, a town just a few miles away from where Teddy had been blasted to death by an enemy landmine less than 3 weeks previously. He had been one of the first casualties to die at the start of Operation Compass, the first large-scale military action in the Desert War following the Italian invasion of Egypt, which, despite being hailed a success, had resulted in the loss of 624 British soldiers. Teddy Elliot, aged 26, formerly a shipyard worker from Sunderland, County Durham, had been one of those 624 fatalities. As Polly edged her way into Belle's bedroom, a few rays of sunlight splintered through the gaps in the blackened cloth, illuminating the outline of her sister-in-law. As Polly's eyes adjusted to the darkness, she recoiled at the sight of her friend, her brother's wife, now her brother's widow. Belle looked almost feral, and for the briefest of moments, Polly felt fearful of this young woman she had known and loved for almost her entire life. She hesitated before making her way across the room, almost tiptoeing out of respect for the quietness.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?